Okay. Brother Larry said we were going to sing Jingle Bells. That caused me to think about something. Years ago, preacher, pastor, asked me, he said, I heard you all sing Christmas songs in your church. I said, yeah, we do. Well, before you know it, you'll be singing Jingle Bells. And I said, well, brother, if you're that weak, then you probably should refrain from singing Christmas. But I knew Brother Larry was joking, but I thought, man, maybe that guy was right. But yeah, I'll tell you what. Romans chapter 1. Been looking, verse 29, which is the results of a reprobate mind. Again, one thing we need to understand about a reprobate mind is it doesn't get better. It just continually gets worse. So therefore, all the results become more commonplace as well. And that's why he says being filled, and again, it's being ongoing, constant filling, being filled with all unrighteousness. Again, unrighteousness is kind of a general term for all of these things that are mentioned. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. We looked at murder last week, focusing more on abortion than any other aspect. Then we come to debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, it means they're unappeasable, unrelenting, remorseless, unmerciful. Then you read on, they take joy, they have pleasure in these things. But we come to verse 29, debate. And then the things that follow. We live in a very angry society. People are angry about all kinds of different things. I think mostly they're angry with their lives, the lives that they live. But we live in a very angry, very unhappy society. A lot of people are, I mean, it just takes one little thing. May have cheated you out of French fry or something at McDonald's, and that's all it takes to set them off. Because, again, there's just this anger everywhere. And it's a result of a reprobate mind and all these things that we've mentioned. The word debate is, we think of a debate, we think of an organized debate. That, of course, is not the meaning here. It's a word that is connected with contention, strife, altercation, anger, heated zeal. And it's just, it's commonplace. It's the spirit that people have. The Bible has much to say about this in the New Testament, and it's almost always, if not always, related to church. Of course, what we're talking about here in Romans 1:29 is more related to society. than it is the Lord's churches. But it does have a tendency to carry over into the Lord's churches as well. But everywhere there's debate, there's this anger, hostility. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, let us walk on. This, of course, would referring to God's people, but let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, lewd, immodest behavior, wantonness, not in strife. Not in strife. That describes this word debate, strife. Everywhere there's strife. And you can follow it on throughout the Paul's epistles, and it would mention strife, it would mention contentions, and so forth. But being filled with debates or debate. The next word is deceit. Deceit. The Greek word dolos. And it means a laying a snare for others. It has to do with lying. It has to do with cheating. It has to do with cunningness, deception, dishonesty, fraud. Society is filled with these things. There are people who lie so much they actually believe their own lies. They've been telling them for so long that that's their reality. And they couldn't tell the truth if they had to. They lie about things there's no need to lie about. I mean, they just lie. And that's part of this deceit. And then, of course, cheating. People cheat all kinds of ways and things. Many of them call it good stewardship, but it's not good stewardship if it's wrong. But deception. The Bible condemns this, of course. When God established the law, He had much to say about honesty versus dishonesty. Notice in Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus 19, verse 11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely. Okay, there's two things there. Stealing, of course, is taking what is not rightfully yours, and people have some pretty odd definitions of what constitutes stealing. Remember, you used to go to a restaurant and they had all the jams on the table? They don't do that anymore. Why? Because people took them all. That's stealing. Well, I paid for the meal. You didn't pay for every jam on that table. And that's stealing. So they can't put those things there. But he goes on and he says, neither deal falsely. That's dishonest in any business transaction, neither lie one to another, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. And then he deals with it again in the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 25, and he talks about a man was not to have two balances. In other words, he was not. They sold things by weight, and he wasn't to have two balances to fix his price and to cheat people. And notice in Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1. Proverbs 11. Proverbs, or a false balance, is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A false balance, that's not talking about balance in life, secular and spiritual. That's how a lot of people interpret that verse. That's not what it's talking about. He's talking about honesty and dishonesty in business affairs. You don't have a false balance. You don't have a false weight. And then he says, but a just weight is his delight. In Proverbs 16, verse 11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Again, he's talking about being honest. And that's almost gone in society. You can't, out in society, you can't believe someone just because they said it. There may have been a time when you could do that, but those days are long gone. And I'm not saying that everybody is dishonest, but most probably are. And that's what this deceit is. It's dishonesty. And again, we're full of it. So much so that it becomes common practice. Then the next thing he mentions is malignity, conveying the idea of an evil disposition that the tendency of this disposition is to put the worst possible construction on everything. You see somebody do something, they say something, you put the worst possible construction upon it as possible. That's very prevalent in society. It consists of misinterpreting the words or actions of others. They will say something like, well, they said this, but this is what they meant. That's quite a leap. You don't know what they meant unless they tell you. But it's misinterpreting and doing so on purpose. Words or actions of others. It also conveys the idea of rudeness. An indisposition to kindness and courtesy. We live in an angry society. We live in a hostile society. We live in a dishonest society. We live in a very rude time. It's very unusual when someone is polite. Most aren't. Most are rude. And this is part of what this reprobate mind and all the things that went before a reprobate mind. When you become narcissistic, you become rude. And because after all, you're the only one that matters. And we have a society today that is just overrun with rudeness. We have a rude society. We live in an age of rudeness. And without a doubt, there is a rise in rude behavior. There's an escalation of rudeness. It is a time when people's awareness of what constitutes that which is courteous and polite is almost non-existent. Just a simple thank you is rare out in society. Cashiers treat being rude the customers, acting like you are inconveniencing them because you've come into their place of business. Rudeness, it's everywhere. And then, of course, there's the customers that are rude. But it's everywhere. But a child of God, of course, is to live above the rudeness. We're not to get sucked in by any of these things that we're mentioning. And certainly a child of God is to be polite, is to treat others with kindness in a society where it is very, very rare. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, book of Matthew, chapter 5, notice verse 44 down through verse 47. The saying is, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's verse 43. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's hard to do. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. That's pretty hard to do. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, because of the society we live in, if you do these things, it's shocking. It's not what people expect. Someone curses you, they expect you to curse them back. That's the protocol. If they hate you, you're to hate them. And in this society in which we live, we're to follow verse 44. It says in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That is, that you may imitate your Father. And then gives an example, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Same sun rises upon those who curse God and those who sing praises to God. And he's our example. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, that's not hard to do, or shouldn't be, to love those who love you. What reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, the most wicked of sinners, they do the same thing. The most wicked individual can love somebody that loves them. But we're to rise above that. And we're to rise above the society that we live in. If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? You acknowledge individuals that you don't agree with. You at least acknowledge them. You salute. You don't just salute or acknowledge those who are in total agreement with you. We're to live above the rudeness of society. They don't talk to me, I'm not going to talk to them. Well, that's not what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. And notice verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Now he's talking in church capacity, but we're applying it to society. With brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You don't have to agree with somebody to at least not be rude to them, to acknowledge them. And 1 Corinthians 13, we see that love is true love. is not rude. It's not any of these things that we've mentioned, but verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Love is kind. Love treats with kindness. That's what we're to do. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, I don't have to applaud. I don't have to agree with what someone does. But you and I, as God's people, are to live above the rudeness of society. So we live in a very angry society, very hostile, very rude society. And when the society is overflowing with these things, it can't even function properly. We see it in our government. We have a government that cannot function. They cannot function because of the hatred, the anger, and the hostility. It gets in the way of just common sense. And that's what happens. And you get angry enough, it gets in the way of reasoning. And we see it everywhere in our society. And to the natural man, hate feeds hate, anger feeds anger. You and I, of course, are to rise above that, but that's how it works in society. It would be comical if it wasn't so sad, but you have a political party who the president is divisive, and yet every word out of their mouth is divisive. Everything they do is divisive. But our society is filled with these things, and therefore it makes it perilous times when you just live in anger and hostility and rudeness. It's going to make for a very perilous time. But you and I, as God's people, are to rise above it. It's not easy. That's where, again, Brother Dennis's devotion, you need this help of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not our nature to treat someone properly that treats us improperly. That's not our nature. But we need the help of the Lord that we do not become part of the problem of society. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here today. We thank you for each home that's represented. We all have cares and burdens, Lord, and we pray that you would just cause us to cast these things upon you. Lord, that you just lift us up, cause us to look to thee. And again, Lord, that you would save the lost this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.